casting out demons. In this video, we'll cover several techniques that will help you in the ministry of deliverance, showing you the tools, strategies, and mistakes you'll need to know to perform an exorcism. Things to consider before doing deliverance. First of all, you'll need to know if the person really is under demonic attack, or if there's something non-demonic going on. For example, health or mental issues, stress, or even diet. If there are demons involved, find out if they're attacking from the inside or the outside. For demons on the inside, you need deliverance. But for demons on the outside, you need spiritual warfare. Bob Larson, a minister with plenty of experience in deliverance, spends a lot of time convincing some people that they don't have demons. Why? Because many people just want to go through a quick deliverance to remove the consequences of spiritual immaturity and bad decisions, when what is really needed is the renewing of their mind, as in Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. How do you know if someone has a demon? The same way a dentist knows if someone has a cavity. The dentist probes around the teeth and sees if you show a reaction. If there's a reaction, he investigates. Physical manifestations are a sign that demons are on the inside. There's also a website that can help you know if demons are involved. As a minister, you must know that some deliverances happen in layers and may not be completed in just one session. For the ministers, you'll want to cover yourself, your family, and loved ones in prayer against any demonic backlash. Higher satanic powers will look for ways of getting you back for taking out their agents. Sometimes people will not remember parts of the deliverance when demons take over. You'll need to show them a recording of what happened, which often shocks them. For others, they're able to hear and remember everything. Please remember, this video guide is not the only method of deliverance, and it's not comprehensive. It's just building a foundation to help you do successful deliverances. Some people can get deliverance just through baptism. Some people can get deliverance just through forgiveness and inner healing, as in Matthew 18:35. And I've even seen some people get deliverance just by watching the Passion of the Christ movie. Some people get deliverance by having their issues handled in the courts of heaven. Some people get deliverance just by spending time with Jesus. Some people get deliverance just by being close to the fire of God, where demons leave just because it's too hot and too bright for them. And some people can get spiritually strong and mature enough to do self-deliverance. In fact, the minister doing the deliverance should be at the spiritual maturity and strength that if for some reason a demon snuck inside of them, they could do self-deliverance without just falling into sin or depression. Now, many Christians don't believe that fellow Christians can even have a demon. They often quarrel over the word oppressed versus possessed. Once they see a Christian manifesting, they may change their mind. And yes, a Christian can have a demon, as with Matthew 18:34. Now be warned, if you're doing deliverance and you're not a spirit-filled Christian, you may get your kicked, as in Acts 19. To learn more on this subject, here are some good references. Regarding the minister. For people with demons, the demons have often spent decades working to hurt, confuse, curse, and abuse their human hosts. Therefore, don't bring the rock star attitude that you're just gonna come in, spend 5 minutes rebuking a devil, and everything's gonna be fixed. Your ministry team may need to spend quality time with the person, ministering to all their wounded parts. The person may change personalities very fast. Therefore, the minister needs to be able to quickly identify which spirit they're talking to, the person, a demon, or something else. Sometimes, when I'm not sure if I'm talking to the person, I'll ask them to say, "Jesus is Lord," because I know demons despise saying that. There are thousands of ways demons can trick you to prevent a successful exorcism. You need to be shrewd and knowledgeable about all their little tricks. Like a professional athlete must master a playbook. If an exorcism seems too easy, suspect there might be something hiding. You may be just dealing with a throwaway demon and ignoring the strong man. The strong man may force a lesser demon forward, hoping you'll waste your time on it and miss the big guy. You may want to do prayer, fasting, or worship before an exorcism, because some demons are harder to get out than others. Being tenacious and having a militant attitude can help you press through. Regarding the person. There are many things a person can do to help prepare for a successful exorcism, especially forgiveness. The person must be willing to forgive all others. Unforgiveness leaves an open door for the demonic, as with Matthew 18:35. Walk them through this if necessary. Sometimes people have a very hard time forgiving their abusers. They feel that the pain is too deep to let go. In these situations, the minister can choose a difficult technique called representative repentance, whereby the minister asks Jesus to project onto them the image of the abuser. Then the minister can confess to the person and ask for their forgiveness. This makes it much easier for the person to let go and forgive. But this can be difficult for the minister because they're used to being clothed in the Lord's righteousness and are not familiar or comfortable with having the shameful image of a rapist or an abuser projected onto them by the Lord. Healing. Is any emotional healing necessary? Deliverance is much easier once a person receives healing for their wounds and trauma. There are entire ministries dedicated to inner healing, and this can't be adequately covered here. Remove any shame or guilt off the person. Shame and guilt will only weaken them spiritually. Let them know that God loves them, that you love them, and you're not here to condemn and accuse them. But you want them to be set free. And God is not trying to ruin their lives. There's a difference between a demon losing its legal rights and being cast out. Casting it out is necessary, but only do it after any legal rights are removed. Otherwise, demons retain their legal key to re-enter. So, deal with any demonic legal rights before casting spirits out. Have the person go through prayers of renunciation to nullify any legal rights Satan might have over them. Here are some examples. If there are any other issues that the minister believes should be repented of, you must address those. Don't proceed in deliverance until repentance is complete. Having inappropriate soul ties can hinder a deliverance. Have the person deal with any soul ties using this short 10-minute video. Understanding the blood. Make sure the person has a strong faith in the blood of Jesus to break any curse, any covenant, or spell against them. Here is a short story about the blood of Jesus that will help you understand its awesome power. One example of this is a vision of the courts of heaven. I was doing a deliverance on someone a while back with the assistance of a prophetic minister. I was expecting the usual demonic confrontation, forcefully casting out demons. But instead, my friend started getting visions of a heavenly courtroom. In this courtroom, she saw Satan accusing this person. He was like a sleazy mafia lawyer, and he had legal paperwork in front of him. In visions, my friend was able to go over to Satan's table and see what was on this legal paperwork. She saw specific sins of the person we were with and sins of past generations that were still in their bloodline. Once we knew this, we told the person who was receiving deliverance, and they would repent, reject, and renounce those specific sins. Then something amazing happened. The blood of Jesus would hit Satan's legal paperwork, and it would disappear. Once all the issues were dealt with, Satan couldn't say a word. He sat there mumbling in shocked disappointment. And the court battle was over. It was the easiest deliverance I'd ever seen. As Christians, we must make sure that Satan has no legal grounds against us, and anything he might accuse us with must be put under the blood of Jesus. That's how we win in the courts of heaven. when not to do a deliverance. If a person doesn't really want to be delivered, then you probably won't be successful. The demon might be giving them popularity, fame, strength, etc. The person must be absolutely willing to get rid of every demon to proceed. It helps if the person is furious, sick and tired of the demons, because they'll be more willing to push them out. Therefore, spend time telling the person that these demons are also after their family and future generations, and they have probably caused devastating hardships in past generations and have brought many curses with them. For those people who don't want to give up their demons, you can ask the Lord to make them hate the demons, to be repulsed by them, and to not be able to get any pleasure from them. If a person is not willing to give up their sin, then a deliverance may backfire as more demons come back into them, as with Matthew 12:45. The minister needs to make a judgment call. Are you helping the person get free, or are you just giving them some relief before they go jump back into sin? Ministers, you're not having a dialogue with a demon. You're having a prison interrogation before a brutally tormenting execution. So don't let demons just speak anything they want, and don't treat them with the respect that you'd give a person. Always force a demon to look into your eyes. It will see the terrifying face of Jesus through you. Get angelic assistance. Remember that the host, God's angelic army, were created by God for might, warfare, fighting, security, strength, and dominion. They are fierce, fully armed, and fully trained. They are not fallen worship angels pretending to be mighty. The host are God's ultimate soldiers, able to handle any type of warfare. Have the host bind any demons as prisoners of war, and cut off all demonic power sources, communications, and helps the demons might get. Don't let demons do anything strange. It may be communicating with others or getting power from some unknown source or object. Use the host to help identify the demons and expose every hiding spirit. It may take some time and poking to get demons to respond. They're hoping that you'll just give up and assume there's nothing there. I command the host to continually strike, pierce, burn, beat, and torment demons until they identify themselves. Demons don't get to mock Jesus in heaven. Don't let them do it here. Command the host to instantly punish any mocking, disrespect, dishonor, disobedience, deception, or trickery. Command the host to proactively, vigorously, forcibly, and violently guard the honor of Jesus. Demons will try hard to prevent you from identifying them. They lose power when their names are known. Finding the demon's identity can be done by asking the Holy Spirit, or through a minister's investigation, or interrogating the demon. Occasionally, the person will hear the name of the demon during its interrogation. So be attentive to anything the person is feeling, seeing, or hearing. If demons bring any curses with them, be sure to break these. For a successful exorcism, you need to strengthen the person and weaken the demon. You weaken demons by breaking their legal rights and through torment. Remember, don't let any demon leave without a going away present, such as a crushed skull, a broken back, a lost eye, a severed limb, or a broken arm. They need to be properly compensated for all their hard work. Be sure to pronounce God's judgment on every demon. I often say, "May the wrath of God be on you sevenfold for what you have done." There are specific biblical torments that are strategic against specific demons. For example, when I'm dealing with Jezebel, a very common demon, I call on the dogs of Jezreel to attack her. This was her judgment in 2 Kings 9:10. Or for Python and serpents, I use Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman will crush your head. Therefore, if the demon you're dealing with is mentioned in the Bible, see if you can use any scripture verse against them. And if they say anything contrary to God's word, rebuke them with scripture. Now, demons are not used to being in the light, so they say things and reveal secrets that they would never want to get out. I've watched demons curse and fight each other just because the one in front revealed some secret that the others desperately wanted hidden. Be sure to cast any demon into the abyss or the pit, as mentioned in Luke 8:31. Don't just kick them out so they go down the street and infect someone else. Some ministers send them to the feet of Jesus. If possible, force the demons to speak their own judgment, so they're condemned by their own words. I force demons to say, "I release all my curses, and bound with all my kingdom, we go now to the pit." Then the demon's own words will be used against them. You must find out who the strong man is, the one in charge over all the others. Don't miss it when you're casting them out. The general order of a deliverance. Number one, bring up the demon, isolate it, and confront it. Number two, identify the demon. Number three, break any legal rights through repentance. Deal with any curses it may be using. And number four, cast out the demon into the abyss after any torment or judgment. One of the biggest problems with deliverance is knowing who you're talking to. Are you talking to the person, or a demon, or a group of demons, or a mixture, or a soul fragment? Therefore, you need a method of isolating and separating spirits. Ministers often use a powerful weapon called the sword of the spirit, mentioned in Hebrews 4:12. for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This weapon will not hurt the person, but it's deadly and painful to the demonic, especially when fire is on it, like in Genesis 3:24. As a minister, I often say, I use the sword of the Spirit, mentioned in Hebrews 4:12, to divide, pierce, separate, and isolate every demon inside the person. This allows me to deal with the demons one at a time as I call them up. Another problem with deliverance is getting demons to come up so you can deal with them. Demons will often try very hard to hide during a deliverance. As the person renounces sins and renounces demons, it will often stir up and provoke the demonic. This causes demons to come up in order to stop the person from speaking, which greatly helps in deliverance because it exposes demons and allows the minister to deal with them head on. Therefore, if the demons are hiding and you're having trouble getting them up, have the person renounce their sins. Now, don't be discouraged if it takes you a while to cast out a demon. Just think of it as an opportunity to sharpen your demon-tormenting skills. Finding out what legal rights a demon may have can be done by either investigating the person, asking the Holy Spirit, or interrogating the demons. A legal right may have come from actions done by ancestors. Even though the person didn't do these, they can confess, reject, renounce, and repent of them to Jesus, so these are cleansed from their family bloodline. Ministers need to speak with all confidence and faith. Remember that Jesus is right next to you. He is the one who is actually doing the work. You need to competently represent Jesus, loving the person, hating the demon, and speaking the truth with all confidence and authority. Also, remember the host, God's mighty army, are with you, and they are more powerful than any demon against you. And remember, don't treat demons like people. Treat them with the contempt that you would have for a rabid wolf that just killed a child. That means no mercy. You may consider using specific objects while doing deliverance. I personally use a Bible, anointing oil, and a cross. When the Spirit of the Lord is in you, you can call on specific items and they just show up in the spiritual realm. For example, you may say to a demon, "May the fire of God burn you." Then the fire comes and they just start screaming, even though you don't see the fire in the physical realm. Also, I often use the cord of Ecclesiastes 4:12 to bind the demons all over, hand and foot. Dealing with other spirits. Things that may happen during a deliverance. As you're doing deliverance, you may come across a certain type of spirit called a disassociated soul fragment. This soul fragment may be of a person in the past, or of a witch that put a curse on them, a former lover, or the person that abused them. These are not demons. Some of them are actually able to repent and call on Jesus. If possible, lead these soul fragments to repentance for their sins and to leave and go to Jesus. They are not allowed to stay. But if these disassociated soul fragments are evil, rebellious, or stubborn, you can command any demon inside to torment them, as Paul did in 1 Timothy 1:20. They may change their mind once they get a taste of their future. Afterwards, kick them out and command them to leave and not return. Alter ego. You may come across a younger child of the person you're ministering to. This is caused by some trauma in the past, where the person's soul cracked and part of them is stuck at that point. If you see the person just start crying, it may be that younger version of themselves that was just abused. You'll need to lead that child to forgive their abusers, to not blame themselves, to renounce any demonic covenants they might have made to protect themselves, and to go to Jesus. Jesus will mend their soul, merging both parts together, so the person is no longer stuck in the past. If you think a person may become violent when you cast out a spirit, you can ask other people to hold their arms during deliverance to keep it orderly. You can also say to the demons, "I put a bloodline between you and me. You cannot cross it, reach me, or hurt me." Casting out. When everything is dealt with and it's time to cast a demon out, you can use the phrase, "In Jesus' mighty name, I cast you out. Go to the pit." The person receiving deliverance can also help push demons out by saying things like, "I hate all you demons. Get out. Never come back. I renounce and reject all of you. Get out." Also, the other ministers and Christians nearby can join in agreement, commanding the demons to get out. After deliverance. Remember, demons will try to get back in once they've been kicked out. Therefore, pray for the person to be filled with the Holy Spirit and warn them to stay away from evil, as with John 5:14. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Make sure they're connected with some ministry to help them stay free. In conclusion, we've built a foundational understanding of exorcisms and deliverance. To proceed, I would suggest you watch several exorcisms online by Bob Larson to build up your understanding. Jesus expects his church to be able to handle this ministry. He authorized and empowered us to do it, even though few Christians are engaged in it. Take deliverance seriously, and don't let demons drag people to hell.